A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care-to-be-great.
You're listening to the Unrivaled Players Club.
Great play.
With Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery, and BYU's Jaren Hall.
Throws for the end zone. It is caught in the end zone.
Presented by UCCU on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. It is 97.5 1280 The Zone. The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSLSports.com. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Jaren Hall, BYU quarterback, joining us here. Final week of the regular season approaching as BYU is going to be taking on USC down in L.A. Massive game. It's been on the schedule for quite some time. And what's interesting about that two-game series that was put on the schedule is BYU gets the one 2 years ago now at home in one of the more interesting games that we've an overtime game where the crowd storms the field the week after the Tennessee win. And then now going down to L.A. and the possibility of going 2-0 in this home-and-home. So, Jaren, what do you see right off the bat? What's the film look like with this USC team? And you talked about the athletes. There's a massive thing that even – I watched a lot of that UCLA game, and I thought the same thing of, yeah, they're losing this game, but, man, all these guys are fast, are big, are strong, and it's a much different vibe than the team you're facing down at Georgia Southern last week.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, all the measurables are there. You look at them, you just think, yeah, that's a top-notch program in the country, and it always has been. So you got to prepare to play against the best talent there is. You got to look behind there, or look beyond the record they have right now. All talented teams, they can go through those spurts. You know, we've gone through it at BYU before with good players, so it happens. It's part of football. But we just got to look past that, be mature enough to realize they come out, play their best game, they'll be a hard team to beat. So we got to be at our best. We got to be prepared and ready to go.
How do you handle Thanksgiving? How do you handle holiday? What's your practice schedule like? But also, how do you handle it personally?
Yeah, so practice schedule from a team standpoint, we'll practice in the morning, you know, versus the afternoon, our usual schedule. Practice in the morning, have a shorter practice, get in, get out, and then go spend the rest of the day with our families, you know, or with teammates. Some guys are from out of state, and just have time to kind of relax and just get our minds off of football for a couple minutes. Just kind of enjoy the time with family. And then when the night's over, we'll get right back to it the next day. We'll travel out to USC, have another practice there to kind of make up for the time off that we had Thursday and kind of split up the 48 hours until that Saturday night kickoff, get our legs going again. So that's how we'll do it as a team, our schedule. And for me, it's just, you know, just realizing, you know, just got to be professional. I mean, it's my fourth year going through the schedule, practicing on a Thanksgiving. So I feel like I'm kind of used to it by now. You enjoy the time with your family, but, you know, there's a lot of Thanksgivings to come. So, but right now, just relish the moment playing college football around the holidays and make the most of it.
What's the hall Thanksgiving food that you would put up against anybody else's Thanksgiving food? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, a special side that mom or dad makes, something that you have to have on Jaren's plate for Thanksgiving.
Oh, my dad's... he makes like this really sweet honey ham, pineapple honey ham. It's absolutely amazing. Just juiced out the max, crazy. It goes crazy, man.
So you guys good. You guys do a ham and a turkey, or is the turkey out?
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah, we do a ham, and then wow. Other cousins and grandparents and stuff, they'll usually bring the turkey. So we just do a ham, and then someone else brings a turkey. And then my favorite side dish is just candy yams and the sweet potato pie that my dad makes. That's a plate right there.
I think this is funny because Alex is on this mission to like eliminate certain side dishes he thinks are non-essential for for Thanksgiving.
We think stuffing is way better than it is, and it's not. We have better sides.
Horrible.
We are the only reason we make it once a year. If it was good, we'd make it all the time. It'd be on think about when you have those roast potatoes with your Sunday roast, but you do it 10 times a year. It's because we like it.
But he likes sweet potatoes. So does Devin Kafusi. I think the vote is
You guys win 2-1. It's fine.
So of course this is Thanksgiving and there's a lot to be grateful for. What is the thing you're most grateful for about this season?
I'm grateful that, you know, I've been able to remain healthy for the most part. I'm grateful for my teammates that have been able to remain healthy, you know, for those that are taking care of our guys that are injured. I'm grateful for all of them that are taking care of them. I'm just grateful for how close our team has gotten to one another throughout the year. It's always interesting to see the dynamics as you lose a big wave of guys and new guys fill their places and you just kind of find that chemistry. And just enjoying the moments in the locker room outside of football when we're just kind of chopping it up and playing ping pong or talking, watching movies, whatever it is. It's just a good time to be around the guys you're around every day. And then just to share success on the field. So this is a culmination of those things for me personally. And I know as a team, the things we're grateful for.
You know, that's something that I think Devin Kafusi talked a little bit about that too. He goes, yeah, you never know what a locker room is going to totally be like, you know, when a season starts. Mm-hmm. And obviously the things that Utah has gone through, it's pretty galvanizing as a team, but you know, I was thinking about that. And so what is this? Is this like a fun locker room? Is it one of the more fun locker rooms you've been in? Is it like a serious locker room? Everybody takes their job super serious. Or is it a good balance? Where are you guys at in that locker room and how much fun?
I mean, good balance, but for sure probably more fun. When you're in the locker room, there's not much to be serious about. You know what I mean? When you step across the lines or you're in the film room, that's when you kind of get serious. But we're in the locker room, man. We're just ourselves. Dudes yelling, screaming at each other over ping pong or shuffleboard, dudes getting after it. I mean, it's a good time. It's really fun. Lots of laughs.
How much conversation do you guys have about, like, next year? When you're playing ping pong, whatever, and just, like, you know, how many guys are talking about, I want to come back, I want to go on with my life, because you kind of have that extra year because of last season, and a lot of guys may go on or could stay or whatever, but how much of a conversation do you have about it? All that.
Yeah, I mean, this time of the year starts to go around. You know, you got the guys applying for different master's programs or med school or whatever it is that they're planning on doing. The guys that, you know, think they're going to be done with football. And then you got those who want to continue to play or move on and play in the NFL. So there's a lot of different side conversations this time of year starting to pop up. But I think we're all on a pretty good level of understanding that we still, you don't want to finish out right. But it takes a special, mature kind of dude to have those conversations and still stay locked in. And right. I think that's what's cool about BYU, you know, is you, those type of dudes that can do that. So it makes it enjoyable to be able to talk about those future things, past things, and then also focus on the work.
You've been you talked about how you've been doing these practices for 4 years. You've practiced on Thanksgiving for 4 years, so you've kind of figured it out. On the flip side, at USC, you've got Jackson Dart, who was one of the best recruits out of the state of Utah, going to USC out of Corny Canyon High School. Kalani talked a little bit this week about how good of an athlete he was and how, you know, BYU did their part trying to recruit him. But, you know, when you see him on film and you see what he's doing and you see that he's young and he's getting thrown in there already and has already been able to make some plays, what do you see that he does well? And maybe what are some of the things that you look at and you go, I envy that about him? Or what is it that you see in Jackson Dart's game?
Yeah, I mean, I've watched him a ton. And I know they've had their little rotation where they bounce dudes in and out. But what I have seen from Jackson is just how confident he is in throwing the ball. I mean, that's what he did at Corner Canyon when I watched him there a lot when he was in high school. And I had a chance of working out with him a couple of times in California with John. So I've gotten to see him work out, you know, up close and personal. See the way he throws the ball. The dude's got great mechanics. Just looks so effortless out there. So it's just fun to watch him, you know, throw the ball around and just do what, you know, I love doing as a quarterback too, which is throwing the ball. So I'm excited to see him play if he gets the nod for this week. I don't know how their situation pulls up for them and their coaches, but Jackson's a stud, and I'm excited for his future at USC and moving on from there.
What are you going to need to do well this week in order to have success and win on Saturday?
We'll have to continue to run the ball, establish our run game, because that's where everything begins. You know, it opens up And if it's tough sledding, you know, then we're relying on our dudes to make their plays outside. So it usually just depends on how it starts. You know, you might have a Baylor start where it's tough to run. You got to throw the ball, or you might start like a lot of other games where we run the ball really well and the pass opens up from it. So I think we just got to be balanced and we got to take care of the ball. That's what it comes down to, bottom line. Win the turnover battle. And go make plays. You know, when we're able to get in the red zone, we're really well. So making the most of our possessions, getting the ball across the 50 into the red zone. I think that's kind of our recipe, and you never know where it could go from there.
Another week in the books with Jaren Hall and the Players Club, brought to you by UCCU, love where you bank. I'm loving these. Every week, Scott, they've gotten better and better, and I'm excited to see what next year, you know, what we end up doing if Jaren ends up coming back, being a part of the Players Club, if Devin ends up coming back, being a part of the Players Club. It's fun to get to know these players through the entire season. I mean, we're 11 games in now, and it's a cool thing for us to be able to get to know these guys. And I'm glad that they're taking advantage of the NIL stuff, and it lets them do their thing without having to have, you know, the school in their ear going, you can and cannot say this or do this or do that. And these guys are themselves, and it's fun to hear. So,
and I hope that fans appreciate what this is and the insight that they're getting into the access to these players, and you know. Hopefully they can appreciate what this is.
Jaren's baby threw up on his wife during the season. I mean, my heavens.
And also just the, we get to know who they are as people. And I think when you're a fan, when you kind of know someone, you start cheering for them a little bit more, or you pay a little bit more attention to it. I know I have even, like, I mean, you've even, Tom, commented about Devin from the times you've watched, you know, it's like you're watching him play in the game when
my
he's
kids
in there.
Follow him because they're like, hey, that's the guy you talk with every week, the guy, because he likes doing that, he likes being a part of it. And I think with some veteran, you know, these are two veteran guys, it's fun to see these personalities come out a little bit more. We've got a couple more weeks with them now that we've got the Pac-12 championship game and bowl games as well with these young men, so we're looking forward to it. In the meantime, we're going to take a break. When we return, we're going to hear a little bit of what the players this week had to say, and Kalani Sitake at the weekly press conference. Malik Moore, who's from Southern California, talks a little bit about hoping the fans will get there. We'll hear from Kalani talking about USC, how much talent they've got. He'll talk also about Jackson Dart and the time that they tried to recruit him. More to go right here. We've got a lot to talk about today, right around the corner right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.